Are you tired of juggling contacts, manually following up, and deals falling through the cracks? We can fix it so you never lose another lead, enabling 24/7 sales and support via an AI that learns your business. Ready to close more deals with less hassle? Get a free trial of our marketing automation at thebuzzcrm.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 489. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company senior SEO, Scott Fanak. Well, let's jump right into it. We're into our second episode of December. The third will be probably forthcoming. The fourth may not this month. So just for all those who may not, who may be, you know, sitting on pins and needles waiting for our next one. and we appreciate you if you are, but I highly doubt it. But if you are, then just don't count on a fourth one this month due to our vacation and such. Anyway, let's jump into some non-SEO news. Although I think anything Google Search Console is relevant. But anyway, go for it, Scotty.
It was. I had to put something, so I found the one that was the least SEO of the SEO news. So Google Search Console has a nice little update that doesn't really change much, but it'll make your life a little bit easier when you're using it. So when you go into Search Console and you're looking at some of your performance reports, previously, if you wanted to change the date range, you had to select a drop down and add a filter, and it was like this process that was a little bit cumbersome. Well, they've made a new change. I think it rolled out today, which is December 11th. And now you have the usual filter criteria with dropdowns that you could do, but now the date has been moved and there are buttons above that for 24 hours, 7 days, 28 days, 3 months, and then a dropdown for more options, which presumably lets you customize the date range you want to look at. So, you know, it's a very small change, but it's going to make life that much easier when you want to quickly see the last week or the month or whatever. So I'm all for it. So fun little change that I actually approve of.
All right. I wonder how many people they actually have on the team that is works on it. It could easily be two people.
Yeah.
Because there certainly aren't a lot of changes that come through.
It's just two folks just hanging out, drinking coffee, and what can we tweak to make it better? And then they break something and then we report on the bugs.
A little slide down the Google headquarters slide and
I would get a slide in my office, but I'm already in the basement, so it wouldn't work very well.
All right. Well, jumping into the SEO news now, Google search ranking volatility continues post core update. It's a mouthful. Anyway, the last core update completed on December 5th. Is this another update? Is it related to the core update? We don't really know, but there's a lot of chatter at Webmaster World, which is nothing new, with users seeking a lot of or seeing a lot of rank movement. So it could very well be a new one or just an extension. Some tools are showing more volatility than during the first part of the actual core update. It's anyone's guess. And we've always got to throw this stuff out there at the beginning just to go, hey, there's movement.
Yeah. So we'll see. Wouldn't it be typical though, if this was like a back-to-back core updates or something right before Christmas? It's like right out of Google's playbook.
Yep, exactly. Was it last year? I think it was last year when they made some pretty big changes and people lost a lot of money. It was Florida-esque. I say that for anyone who doesn't know, the Florida update that happened, I think, was 2000, two or three devastated businesses, and it happened right in December. And tons of companies who were all ready to make some money during the Christmas season lost all their rankings. And it became a pretty big embarrassment for Google. Even they were looking pretty bad. they were admitting that they did something stupid. Anyway, first time I think I'd seen anything even remotely close to that was last year. And I don't really think they care anymore. But that seems to be the overriding topic these days.
The original Florida update happened when they were still pretty new. I don't know what their market share was, but maybe 50%. I don't know, something like it was much lower. Now they just dominate and they've got all the money and they do whatever they want. They're unstoppable.
Yeah. Let me see here. Google Florida update. I never remember. Oh, come off it. All I got is the 2003. November 16th, 2003. That's right. Oof. Anyway, big bad times. All right, so now SEO for ChatGPT search. There have been four key observations from Clark Tsang. I'm sorry, I don't know who you are, Clark, but I'm sure this is some interesting stuff you have to share. So why don't you fire away there, Scott.
Yeah, this is over at Search Engine Land. Clark kind of found four key observations that are a bit interesting and a couple things that are worth noting here for sure. So I figured let's just go through them all here. The first was that ChatGPT search results are different than both Google and Bing. Doesn't go completely unexpected. The only thing is there is some overlap. Rankings don't align. And this is largely because even though ChatGPT pulls the index from Bing, they apply their own stuff, their own algorithms to that data to serve you stuff. So I said that all really badly. I'm not good with words, I guess. So yeah, they are different, which is great. I mean, if it was just a mirrored image, like Yahoo is basically Bing, and you know, we've seen this so many times, it's just annoying. So it's good that they are unique. One thing, this is actually probably the most interesting part of all of this that I found, is that ChatGPT tends to favor long form content over brand product pages and smaller content. So he had found that they did a sample search for long-range e-bikes, for instance, and there were no brands referenced, even though their brand that they manage is number one organically in Google. It was not mentioned at all, and in fact, they saw no brand mentions at all in what ChatGPT spat out. Despite that, it was mostly long-form style articles. The content generally had, anything they searched for, the content had the characteristics of lengthy text, all from high authority sites, and not brand focused. So it just does not seem to trust promotional claims, and GPT relies more on long form authoritative media. So that was kind of cool. Long form stuff used to be awesome for organic SEO, and now we know that it's great for ChatGPT. So keep those articles coming. Local SEO and reviews and search. ChatGPT does not display ads. It simply ranks the top businesses based on factors like reviews and location. To rank well in local, you need to focus on numerous, authentic, positive Google reviews. And that tends to be the key currently for reaching the top. So it's pretty simple, but not necessarily easy to acquire. In practice, it's definitely more difficult than just, hey, get 1,000 reviews. But good reviews are key right now. And then this one was kind of a bit counter to number two with the brand stuff, but he says emphasis on brand mentions. So ChatGPT does not drive website clicks as much as you might think. It's more about that people are looking for direct answers to their questions and not necessarily looking for a website for it. So you tend to get more focus on brand awareness than you do traffic to your site. So the goal with ChatGPT, according to Clark, is really about maximizing exposure and brand awareness more than it is about traffic generation. So, but yeah, the main thing there, main takeaway for me is long form content is very helpful. So,
all right.
Simple takeaway.
Yeah. Lots of little simple takeaways. That's good. So Google Search Google Search fixes delayed indexing issues. What the heck kind of title is that? Google Search fixes.
I didn't write it.
We're going to stop just copying things. This is really making things bad. All right. So on December 9th, Google noted they were having delayed indexing issues, which impacted a small number of sites. If you were a large publisher, you most likely noticed a delay in getting new content indexed. They had this issue on December 10th. This is where John Carcutt would have piped in with lots of information because he was dealing with a large publisher all the time. Always was interesting to hear what was going on over there. And he would have liked this too. Google does try to handle broken canonicals. Now, I've heard this many times, but it's always worth mentioning again. This is from a Search Off the Record podcast with Alan Scott from the Google search team and Martin Split and John Mueller. John and Martin have both been on the SEO 101 podcast. We're going to have to get them on again very soon. I think maybe in the new year. Anyway, in the video, Alan confirms that if they sense that the canonical tag on your site is incorrect, they will attempt to correct it, but also notes that their process is imperfect. Shocking. Quote, are we ever going to have good rel equals canonical validation? I don't know. But in the meantime, the one we've got is imperfect. And if you make mistakes, we'll catch some of them and we'll let some of them through. Unquote. So, yeah, don't rely on them. No. Interesting.
I think we often, or people generally often think that Google is significantly smarter than it is. And it is in a lot of respects. But in some cases, you know, people might be like, the canonical tags are good enough. I'm sure it'll be fine. And don't have that attitude. It might be fine. It very well might not be.
True enough. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk a lot about AI.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Vanak. Okay, so in AI news, I've got lots to share, some really interesting stuff today, which is nice. First, Google announces search updates powered by Gemini 2.0. anyway, in this case, what does this mean? We're going to break it down into three main points. First, AI overviews are being expanded. It's reaching 1 billion users and will be enhanced to cover more complex and multimodal queries. What will this mean? Well, users will benefit from improved AI responses, enabling them to ask more sophisticated questions. Some of the capabilities in part two here is mainly the Gemini 2 Flash model is said to outperform earlier models significantly, featuring faster response times and the ability to process various input and output types. Really, what it comes down to is it will include functionality for images, video, audio, and integrated coding capabilities. And that was one of the things that I noticed highlighted actually, we're going to get to that in a second. I won't even get there. The third point here is future developments. Google is also introducing new interaction prototypes like Project Mariner, which is the next section of this discussion, aimed at improving user interaction with web browsers. So what the heck is Project Mariner? The DeepMind website describes it as, quote, a research prototype exploring the future of human-agent interaction starting with your browser. Unquote. Agent. You're going to hear that a lot in 2025. I think it's going to be ubiquitous by 2026. Since these things kind of take time to really catch on to the general public. But I felt just from that, there's a good reason for us to dig a little more into Project Mariner. So here it is. And part of the reason I'm doing this is because of what I've got here is that I read recently an article or an interview with Sundar Pichai. He's the CEO of Google. And he said, quote, search itself will continue to change profoundly in 2025. I think we're going to be able to tackle more complex questions than ever before. And I think you'll be surprised even early in 2025, the kind of newer things search can do compared to what it is, where it is today, unquote. Now, a CEO doesn't say that stuff unless things are very close to being launched. So, Project Mariner, it seems to be a big part of that coming change. Now, one of I used AI to help summarize the very complicated explanations throughout Project Mariner when I went through the site. So let's look at some of the points here. It's an initiative by Google DeepMind that explores how we can interact with our web browsers using our advanced artificial intelligence. In simple terms, it's about creating a smarter, more intuitive assistant. I want you to note that word because we're talking about agents here, that help users navigate and utilize the web more effectively. Here's how it could change the way regular people, that's us and the broader world, use internet browsers. Enhanced interaction. Instead of just typing queries into a search bar, users could interact with the browser using natural language. And this is what I highlighted, asking questions or giving commands conversationally. Asking questions or giving commands conversationally. Now, this is kind of one of those holy grail things. People like to ask questions of Google, and it's pretty good with their answers, but not great. Sometimes it just has to send you elsewhere or say, it can't do that, you need to read this, whatever. The ability for them to expand that into much more complex answers and complex questions is intriguing.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I can't even imagine at this stage. There's just too many things that could impact. Second, change how we use the internet. Multimodal understanding. Project Mariner is designed to understand and process different types of information simultaneously, such as text, images, and sounds. This means the browser can provide richer, more context-aware responses. So I want to bring attention to how it can process different types of information simultaneously, such as text, images, and sounds. What is that going to mean? Where do we have text, image, and sound all at once? I can't really imagine. I mean, video and sound is certainly seems like a good fit. Maybe they could use videos as part of your search. Why not? We're getting to the point where bandwidth is almost ubiquitous across at least the first world. So maybe that is possible. Number three is task automation. And this is what I think is one of the biggest growth aspects of this. The AI could help automate routine tasks like filling out forms or finding relevant information quickly, making online activities more efficient. What I highlighted here was finding relevant information quickly. Now, an agent, I'm not going to be perfect with my explanation of this by any stretch of the imagination, but an agent, you could have your own agent, almost like an assistant that goes out and does stuff for you. By using Project Mariner, perhaps this is the first step in that equation where you could say, do this research for me, then go off and make dinner and come back and see the results if it doesn't immediately provide it to you. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to end up doing here. I would expect that if it required anything that labor intensive or that computationally intensive, you probably have to pay something minor, like some sort of a API fee. But just the same, if that becomes possible and it's all built into your browser, that's huge. Number four, personalized experiences. Based on user behavior and preferences, the browser could tailor its suggestions, making the online experience more customized and user-friendly. My highlight there was user behavior and preferences and how it could tailor its suggestions. So taking to the next, essentially it's taking search to the next level of personalized. You know, we're always talking about personalized search results based on your prior interactions. Well, this, wow. I mean, the more they can make that effective, the faster and more forward they're going to get in front of their competitors. Not that they really have any big ones yet, but with ChatGPT or SearchGPT getting so much press right now, a lot of people saying that ChatGPT and all these are doing much better than Google's Gemini. I think they're feeling a little hurt right now, yeah. Since they were the ones that created the, what do they call them? The Transformers. And literally this is the system that allowed ChatGPT to even exist. And they put it out publicly. They made it open source. If they hadn't done that, it's true. ChatGPT, all these guys would not even exist. And that's because of Google. So I'll give them that credit. But just the same, they are said to be so far behind. I got a feeling 2025 is when they're going to prove, at least the best they can, they haven't had a good track record so far, that they're way ahead and that this is going to be a massive year. I bet he's putting a lot of pressure on his team. Overall, Project Mariner aims to create a more seamless and enjoyable browsing experience, allowing people to engage with the internet in a more natural and efficient way. What do you think, Scott? Think it's going to be as good as they say?
As good? Well, that's, I don't know about the answer to that. Maybe. You know, I do like the idea of the personalized experiences being more advanced. Like, even if we look at ChatGPT, like, my wife has been using it a lot. And it's also been, she keeps saying how smart and brilliant and how stupid it is at the same time. Because she'll ask it to do something, and then she'll ask it to do that same thing again, but with a slightly different twist for a different project, right? And it forgets everything else that she said before, and it does it wrong. And it says, no, like, remember last time when you did it this way? Do it like that too. Like, oh, okay, I'll do it that way. And if the personalization gets to the point where it just, this is like good and bad. I kind of love and hate this, but if it just remembers everything you're asking and how you want it and how you want things delivered, you won't have to ask for clarification. It will just know you and know how you like stuff automatically. It's like when I ask for code samples for structured markup, I may say include all the script tags because it makes it easier for copy pasting. And then ChatGPT removes the script tags every time. It's like, well, put the script tags back in. Like, okay. Like, it should be able to just remember a step like that, mm-hmm. and always do it. And I can't even begin to think of all the thousands of examples of little bits of personalization that it could use to save you time in the future. So you get what you want without any question. So I don't know how fast it will be rolled out and be really good. I think it's probably going to be pretty bad at first, but I think it'll very quickly adapt to be awesome. And when I say quickly, like within a year,
my geeky response to that issue your wife's having is that it could be, and this just occurred to me, honestly, because I'm so stuck on using it. I usually use OpenAI Mini 4.0, which is best for text. However, perhaps using a more up-to-date algorithm or up-to-date AI will be better at that. I don't know. I think it's a major issue because I do a lot of AI stuff, and for writing, for whatever it may be, for even asking questions and digging in. And yeah, it's got a terrible, it's short-term memory. It's horrible. It's just terrible. I mean, I can have a thread where I'm asking really detailed questions, and I love doing this for when I'm doing some feature mining about a particular client's, let's say, product. And I'm like, okay, does it do this? Does it do this? Does it do this? And based on the answers, I can put together an outline for an article that I could never have done before without reading a ton of the client's content. And this just saves time for me and costs them less. Well, yeah, I'm constantly uncertain if it's right. And sometimes even ask it and says, no, I'm sorry, I got that wrong.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
All the time. All the time it does that to me.
Oh, it's frustrating. I was just thinking idly that I wonder if, I don't think this is the case, but it's just too simple, but we should almost have a separate section of RAM in our computer for AI only, so it can remember everything it's thinking.
Like a short-term that would memory. Be nice.
But I'm sure it could all be done in the cloud. It's just, they need to do it better.
I don't know how they are going to roll this out exactly, but you know, when I go to use AI, not always, but sometimes, you know, you log into TeamGPT, so you got to click on the website, you got to log in, you go to the page, you pick the folder for the project you want all the thread to live in, so it's not just all a jumbled mess in one spot. But the idea of you just open up Chrome, click, maybe click a button, maybe you don't have to click anything, you just say, oh, hey, can you bring up that whatever, and it just does it, and it's there. I don't know. I love that idea. And I'm terrified about technology getting too advanced sometimes and always listening to me and serving me ads for things that I was thinking about that I didn't even say out loud. you know, stuff like that. And I feel like that's just going to make that stuff even like, this is really going to be ad material too, I think, you know?
Yeah. I'm pretty interested to see what happens. And the beautiful thing about all this is, of course, we're still going to see, as soon as all this is released, is SEO dead? Well, it's never dead. Yeah. As long as we need to make sure that information gets out there to these systems. And will that ever end? Never. Never.
No.
No. It changes. Is it ever going to change? But it's not. Yeah, never dead. Okay, so next up here, how significant is the AI chatbot traffic in the business-to-business realm? This is an article in Search Engine Journal, and it's a mini study by our friend Kevin Indig, where he was following about where he found the following about how significant AI chatbots are in driving traffic to B2B. So I know you threw this together, so I'll just let you jump in.
Yeah, so it's actually quite a lengthy article, and I do recommend you go out and read it at Search Engine Journal. I've just taken some of the point form bullets that I found interesting, but it does dive a little bit deeper as well. This kind of bugged me. The first point, though, was that ChatGPT is the second fastest growing consumer product. And at first, I was like, well, what's the first growing? And he did have an example. And I don't know if he didn't refer to it as the fastest growing, but he was referring to electricity. And, you know, from the first commercial power plant with 59 customers in 1882, 3.8 million households, and a few years later had electricity. So I think he's referring to electricity growing, but so this is second to that, presumably. In this case, he did do the study on, it was a very small study, but it provided some insights. It was six B2B companies, and he found that referral traffic from AI chatbots has grown for them on average from about 250 visitors per month to 1,300 visitors per month, so about five times since the first half of 2024. So, I mean, 1,300 visitors per month isn't much for a lot of businesses, but it is a lot for others. But that's just the growth in the matter of a few months. So that's quite significant. I mean, you fast forward another year, is it going to be another five times? It adds up pretty fast. He had a breakdown as well of the chatbots that are delivering traffic. ChatGPT currently accounts for about 48%. Perplexity is about 22%. Bing is 16%. Copilot is 9%, which is also Microsoft, right? Mm-hmm. Did I get that wrong? Yeah, I did. Okay. And then Gemini is at 5%. Although with what we just talked about, Gemini and Google, you know, that's going to grow. It's going to grow a lot. Whether it's better or not, it doesn't matter. It's still going to grow. Despite its growth, AI chatbot referral traffic only makes up about 0.34% in comparison to organic traffic. So, you know, it's small. It's almost nothing right now, but it's going to grow incredibly fast over the next year. Fast forward 5 years, it might be the new Google. I don't know if that can happen, but maybe. Currently, only about 14% of Americans have tried ChatGPT. I thought the number would be larger, but the more I think about it, I'm not so sure. I don't know what I think about that. And AI chatbot traffic is growing at a monthly average of 25.9% overall, which is huge growth. And as a comparison, organic traffic over the course of 2024 has only grown by about 1.1 times. So it's only gone up a little bit. It's not a lot of growth in organic. Making the switch to AI. So there we are.
We'll see what happens. I mean, when I first heard this about AI chatbot, I immediately thought of, I'm like, I actually got confused, and perhaps our listeners did too, but they have to be kind of enmeshed in this to probably think the way I was, but I thought it meant like the AI chatbots that you've integrated into your website. But no, this is the AI search areas like ChatGPT, Perplexity, Bing, Bot, and Gemini. Yeah, which is their own places. And in a sense, these are AI search. versus chatbot, but I get how they're saying it.
That's true. And I guess I should have clarified that a bit more in the start. I just kind of went with how Kevin's laid out his article, but you're right. That's what I thought too when I first started reading it, is I was thinking just a little chat windows on various websites. Yeah. That is not what we're referring to. Yeah.
Yeah. And I personally hate those so far. I know that they must be getting better, and I probably now just old man hate it, even though I probably should be trying them out more and more as they get better. I know that there are a ton of way better systems out there, but just the same, it's never going to be like talking to a real person.
No.
And it does get annoying when you're always thrown the same answer from a system that is just reading off a script.
It's kind of surprising they haven't gotten a lot better, because AI is so much better. And why aren't they incorporating more AI into it to make it work better? I guess they will. Maybe they're just falling behind, I guess. Or cost.
Yeah. Well, and if we're talking about chatbots again here, then it's only as good as the content it has access to, I suppose. But you'd think the more conversational friendly aspect of it would improve in time. And again, it probably has. I just got tired of it.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure all of us will at some point or another. But anyway, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Vanak, thank you for joining us today. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. Don't miss a single link, and you can refresh your memory of a past show at any time. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air every week on WMR.fm.
Great. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Are you tired of juggling contacts, manually following up, and deals falling through the cracks? We can fix it so you never lose another lead, enabling 24/7 sales and support via an AI that learns your business. Ready to close more deals with less hassle? Get a free trial of our marketing automation at thebuzzcrm.com.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.